Now back to The People's Show with Sat, Dan, and Randeep on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hour number two of The People's Show. Lots still to come here on the program. It's the show that is sweeping the nation each and every day here on Sportsnet 650. Do have a pair of lower bowl Canucks tickets to give away for Saturday's matchup against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pens are up against the Edmonton Oilers tonight. Little Crosby versus McDavid, which we haven't gotten enough through McDavid's career, given all of the things that have happened.
Yeah, we didn't get it at all last year.
Yep.
Which is a shame because, you know, with Sidney Crosby, he's 34. There's only so many years left of his career.
It's Crosby, like, passing the torch to McDavid. That's how we've kind of thought of it, right? Although McDavid still has a ways to go to catch Crosby's career achievements.
Team success, and also, if you look at the most recent records, Edmonton does not beat Pittsburgh very often. So I think there's still some time left in that.
So the cool thing about Crosby McDavid, just a quick thought on it. And by the way, the Sportsnet 650's People Show presented by your local Grip Auto and Tire location. Winter tire service and expert advice are waiting for you at gripauto.ca today. McDavid and Crosby as teammates. Not in an all-star game, but one of the hopes for the Olympics is potentially getting to see these guys work the same power play, maybe play on the same line, shift McDavid to the wing, and have Crosby just kind of finding him with his insane playmaking ability. I mean, that's the great thing about the Olympics, is you get to see those guys playing together in meaningful games, which we all know the All-Star game is not that.
Yeah, two of the best players that we've seen over the last 20 years in this game, some of them would say, you know, ever, based on the fact that, you know, what they've been able to do from a individual perspective in Connor McDavid and a team perspective in Sidney Crosby. We want that Canada Cup 1987 moment, where you could see a Mario Lemieux and a Wayne Gretzky on the same team, on the same ice at certain points. Like, this generation deserves that as well. And Sidney Crosby, he's 34 years old. And if the Olympics don't happen, listen, there's various reasons why they might not happen. COVID is obviously the one that is front and center. But there are other discussions going on as well with the human rights aspect of it. Do athletes want to take part is another conversation that is being had as well. But, you know, and those are important conversations. But as a hockey fan, if it's not these Olympics, what's the likelihood that Sidney Crosby plays until he's 38? He's already slowed down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
He's a damn good player. He's still one of the best in the league. But we're asking a lot of a player to want to play that long. So, yeah, that's selfishly one of the things you want to see, is that just on the same ice together, whether it's a power play or a five-on-five element, it's a shame. And this goes back to the NHL and, of course, the IOC and their politics going back a few years. It's a shame we haven't been able to see that.
I wonder what it looks like tonight. Crosby, obviously with a different start to the year, but, you know, the whole Crosby versus Ovi thing, and Ovi is ahead of McDavid in points right now. Crosby off to a slower start, had the injury, and, of course, came down with COVID and is now starting to get back really into the run of play. So that's going on tonight. Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey, a busy Wednesday sked in the NHL. We got a text earlier from one of the many citizens of the People's Show. And it's a good thought to have on a day where two of the teams in the NHL's basement are going up against each other, in the Canucks and the Ottawa Senators. Now, the Senators, it's Troy the Bread Guy. Whose future do you take, Vancouver's or Ottawa? It's a question that is hard to answer from a Vancouver perspective right now. Because the reason you would pick the Canucks is Elias Pettersson. But I think we are all having some level of dent being put into our confidence of Elias Pettersson. It's probably still a fender bender, but there's a dent. There's a mark in the confidence we all have in Elias Pettersson, the player.
It's nowhere near a total loss.
Yes.
But you're definitely noticing it when you're driving down the road.
Yeah.
You're saying, that guy's car is dead. Like, that's the Canucks.
That guy should get that fixed.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's at right now.
The right side of defense is a total loss, but let's not talk about that.
There is, yeah, that's totaled.
But on the Elias Pettersson aspect, you're right. If you would have asked me before the season began, Canucks, easy, because you have a franchise centerman who is going...
And the Senators don't.
And you have a player on the back end in Quinn Hughes that's going to give you, probably, to be conservative, around 55, 60 points, which is not easy in the NHL. He's a, you know, as we've seen, and Harmon, they all also came out with the Athletic piece a couple of days ago, talking about how good he is in the offensive zone handling the puck, how good he is in the neutral zone. So, like, when you have those important pieces, and then you add a Thatcher Demko to the mix, that's a strong foundation. But the key is, who's your offensive driver? Who is the most important offensive weapon you have for the future? You would be looking at Elias Pettersson. And now that you, as you say, have a dent in that argument, it's a little bit more even, because you don't have a high-end center on Ottawa, but you do have some really good players further down. And when we talk about the number of players versus the Vancouver Canucks have, Ottawa's got more pieces. Are they high-end pieces? Not necessarily. But Brady Tkachuk is Brady Tkachuk. You know what you're going to get with him. I really am a huge fan of Drake Batherson as well. Like, he's a very, very good player. He's making some serious coin as well. And you go down that list to say, all right, Thomas Chabot, really good on the back end. You know, does he have cracks in his game? Of course, but he's a young defenseman at the age of, you know, 24 years old. He's going to get better as he gets older. But then you start looking even further down. Bernard Docker is another defenseman, 21 years of age, on the right-hand side. Like, they do have multiple pieces there that are still building out. So to me, it's a lot more even than had you asked me maybe 4 or 5 months ago, Reach.
It's Ottawa's got a much stronger base. Now, I know they're not having the year that they had hoped, but they've got Chabot around for a long time. They've got Tkachuk now locked up long term. You love what he brings. Josh Norris is a...
I forgot about Norris. Yeah, absolutely.
Probably, like, ideally a second line center. And that's just the thing. It's where is this team's number one center? And if they end up landing Shane Wright, you know, this year may end up being the best thing for the Senators organization, right? They really, really need that centerman through the middle that could take them over the top, because they just don't have that guy, and they're not getting him in free agency. Maybe in trade, but, you know, they didn't go down the Jack Eichel route, even though they probably had the prospects and the capital to do that sort of a thing. But they want young guys that are probably cheap. At least that's what Eugene Melnyk's going to want.
That's true. And the one player we haven't mentioned has had a disappointing year, Tim Stützle.
Yep.
1 goal, 7 assists. He's a part of that group as well. So while the Canucks have...
The totals haven't been there, but there's a lot to suggest he's, like, underperforming results.
For sure. And you can see there's a confidence issue there to start off the year, which a lot of players do have in their second year, right? He was pretty much a half a point per game player last year, taking that step into the league. But you still have multiple options there. With the Canucks, you do have a much more veteran-laden group. And your young guys, and Vasily Podkolzin, Nils Höglander, Thatcher Demko, is a decent foundation, along with Quinn Hughes and Pettersson. But those high-end guys are what's really going to power you. And Ottawa just has a few more of those extra players. The only issue is, and we talked about this right off the bat, center is not an easy position to get.
Nope.
Right? I still believe in Elias Pettersson and the skill he has. So, you know, if he can figure it out down the stretch over the next 59 games, I guess, there's more than a stretch to go here. But you're still confident that Vancouver has maybe that better set up because they do have the high-end talent. But I think it's a little bit more of a conversation now because Ottawa continues to stock up on young talent through the draft, picking up players that are going to feature for them. Maybe not next year, maybe not the year after, but two or three years down the road, they should be NHLers.
It's you think about Jake Sanderson, Lassie Thompson has had a couple of ahead of schedule probably from where they expected, but given their COVID situation, some of the injuries they've had, he's already put into NHL situations. They've got a really good young roster, you know, and it goes beyond just what's on the NHL roster. There's depth there. There's layers.
Yeah.
If one guy misses, it's not the end of the world.
Which ownership group is going to get in the way of it, though? Is that the question here?
Can you answer both?
Yeah, because, hey, with Melnick, he's always playing the long game, but when guys need to get paid, it's usually...
I mean, he's paid Shabbat and he's paid Tkachuk.
He's got a lot more coming, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot more young guys that are
going to... Paid Batherson already.
He did. $4.9 million.
Yep.
You know, Stutzla is going to have to get paid.
None of these guys project the same way that Hughes or Pettersson did through their entry levels.
No.
Outside of maybe Tkachuk. But Tkachuk, the reason Tkachuk doesn't get paid, you know, such an exorbitant amount of money and why it's easier to sign him long term, he didn't have goals and points, you know, and that's all. Like, Pettersson goes to arbitration, guess what? He's getting paid because he's got the goals until this year and points to back it up. But those other players that don't have the raw totals but bring a lot to their game, you know, their numbers are just going to come in lower naturally than guys like Hughes and Pettersson because they've got the numbers that they can show and say, I'm among the best in the league at this, and here's the data to back it up, not some funky analytic that isn't going to hold up in an arbitration case. Makes it more difficult for the Canucks to go through those conversations. But at the same time, like, I'd rather have Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes still over anybody on the Ottawa Senators.
That's fair.
Maybe although, outside of Shabbat.
Shabbat versus Hughes
might be the tougher conversation.
Shabbat and Hughes. Okay, the one area that I think, as of right now, with the current state of Elias Pettersson, where his confidence hasn't looked great, right? Good, you know, game against Montreal in terms of getting that goal and drawing a couple of penalties. But let's, as of today, December 1st, the one area that the Canucks are well ahead of the Ottawa Senators is the goaltending position. It's Thatcher Demko. Mm-hmm. Like, well ahead. It's not even conversation, really. On the back end, Shabbat is, if you talk about the blend of offense and defense, he's a better defenseman. Defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And you add that offense in there, he's the more, you know, total game, if you want to. He eats a bunch of minutes, and he's also older as well, we should mention. But to me, it comes down to goaltending. If Pettersson can turn it around in the next 2 weeks, next 2 months, then you're in a conversation to say, yeah, Vancouver's well ahead. But as of right now, Reach, both teams are not doing well. There is lack of confidence on the Vancouver side in their star group. And Hughes and Shabbat is a very good conversation. But the only real conclusive area where you can say right now that Vancouver is like can dunk on Ottawa is the goaltending position and Pettersson if he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Is he almost there? We'll see.
I do like what Ottawa's got going on, but it really comes down to how highly you think of Elias Pettersson. And like, if you phrase it of future, like Ottawa's future is kind of brighter because there's more there.
Yeah.
Whereas the Canucks.
Well, that's what happens when you deal 2 first-round picks in a row, though, yeah. Right? Like, you're not going to have that pool. It's simple.
The future is here for the Canucks, right? Yeah. Like, who else is coming? Right? Who else is there? Dmitry Zlodeyev? Right? You know, what are we talking
Tony
about
Tony Utinen?
There's some
players.
Some players,
but yeah.
But none of them are of the high-end caliber like Ottawa has been building for years.
One thing, though, we got this text here. The Canucks could use Shane Wright so bad. 6'1", 187-pound, right-handed center. A dynamic playmaker with a sniper's release. There's virtually no easy way to stop him. That's according to a scouting report that the texter sent in. Yes, the Canucks could definitely use him. Any team in the league could.
Mm-hmm.
But don't the Ottawa Senators need him? Like, when you're talking about centers and franchise centers, the Canucks hopefully still have that in Elias Pettersson. He's still a 1C if he can figure his game out. The Ottawa Senators don't have that in their setup.
No.
Like, I think the Ottawa Senators actually need Shane Wright. The Canucks have an option there. And that's on Elias Pettersson to get his game right. Ottawa doesn't have that guy. Josh Norris is a damn good player, but he's not a 1C on a good team.
There's a couple of those teams. Like Buffalo would love to see Shane Wright, obviously, especially after trading Jack Eichel. Detroit hasn't found their franchise center. They've got Larkin, but Larkin's kind of like Horvat to them, right? You know, you'd prefer to have him as a second-line center. A lot of those teams that have been rebuilding for a couple of years now still haven't been able to find their top-end number one center. Canucks think they have it with Elias Pettersson. Will he continue to trend in the right way tonight? We'll get to see it against the Ottawa Senators coming up at 4:30. Pre-game starting up at 3:30, so be tuned in for that. Now, a couple of things I do want to do before the day is done. One, I love the Pittsburgh Penguins third jersey. We'll talk about that in a second. But maybe a potential new segment starting right now on the People's Show. It's called You're Not That Guy, Pal. And I think we
You're
all...
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
So, everybody knows the clip.
Yep.
It's a favorite of many, and a favorite of ours to drop in and out on the show. So, You're Not That Guy, Pal, is kind of a segment where we talk about players around the league having standout years, whatever it could be. Or, you know...
Could be any sport, Reach.
It could be... It could be somebody taking on Ryan Reeves for a fight. And then you're
Pezzetta.
Like, Michael Pezzetta. Yep. And you're saying, you're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy. But today, the framing of it is quarter of the season through. Whose quarter season surprise will stay in the top 10 of scoring in the NHL? There's some like shocking names through 20 or 20 some odd games that are in the top 10 of scoring in the league. Who is for real or who is not that guy is the question.
Yeah, there's the usual heavy hitters, right? The Leon Draisaitls, the Connor McDavids, Alex Ovechkin. Go through the list. We know them. Steven Stamkos is back. Brad Marchand. But there are, I think, like three or four players that you're just looking at and saying, wait a second. Is there staying power here?
Mm-hmm.
Troy Terry. Matt Duchene. 24 points. Yeah. He's tied for 10th. And the player that I look and I say, you're not that guy, pal. Granny Nation, stand up. Mikael Granlund.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
What do you got against Michael Granlund?
He's a damn good player, but he's not number six in the league good in terms of scoring. He's currently 25 points through 22 games, 5 goals, 20 assists. He is tied with Johnny Gaudreau, which is kind of weird because Mikael Granlund has never been compared to Johnny Gaudreau. Never, ever. He is less than 10 points or 10 points behind, 11 points behind Connor McDavid. Mikael Granlund.
Yeah.
I am a huge supporter of Granny Nation. Marcus or Mikael.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not that guy. He's going to drop very soon. Very soon. Like, Mikael Granlund is not that guy.
The assists are going to dry up, you're saying? He's only Connor McDavid has more assists than Mikael Granlund.
He's got more than Johnny Gaudreau, who is a noted playmaker in this league.
All right. Sorry, Mikael Granlund. You are not that guy.
Todd Diamond's not going to be happy about that.
Nazem Kadri. Speaking of not that guy, Nathan MacKinnon gets hurt, and everybody's like, oh, might be a tough time for the Colorado Avalanche. But nope. Nazem Kadri, 27 points in 18 games this year. I know Kadri is a better player than most give him credit for. I know Kadri in the playoffs is a suspension waiting to happen. I know Kadri, shocking, never lived up to the hype that he got when Brian Burke selected him 7th overall many years ago to the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round. A first round pick overhyped by the Leafs. Shocking, never happened before. But what he is this year is damn impressive, what he's done so far. But I'm guessing MacKinnon's back tonight, taking more of the point on the power play for Colorado. Some of those opportunities dissipate a little bit for Nazem Kadri. So I'm sorry, Kadri. You are not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
I'd love for Kadri to be that guy, but he's not that guy.
We got takes coming in on this as well. So you go Kadri. I'm going against Granny Nation in this. Guggen coming in with, Troy Terry, you're not that guy, pal. Trust me, you're not that guy. Your shooting percentage is 27.5%.
Yep.
Hey, at least you'll get to go to Beijing. Yeah, well, maybe, if the Olympics actually happen.
I don't know if Troy Terry's a lock to be on the Olympic team.
He is a shootout specialist, though. Remember.
He's moved ahead of Brock Besser on the depth chart, though.
Yes. Yes, he has.
That's how poor Besser's season has been so far.
Okay, there's a question here.
Okay.
Unsigned. What about Andrew Mangiapane?
Mangiapane!
Not that guy? That's a question.
Well, he's not. He's only got 2 assists, so he's not a top 10 scorer in the league, but he is, I think, top 5 in goals with his 15 on the year. I love Andrew Mangiapane. I think he's a great player. I think he's having an incredible year. But, come on. Top 5 goal scorer in the league? I'm sorry. You might be the bread man, but you're not that guy. You're not that guy, Mangiapane.
Unsigned text. Hey, you guys are ripping on my deft fantasy drafting skills. Those are guys.
There's no way you drafted all of these guys. If you did, you're some kind of weird savant.
Neil from Burnaby. Jordan Kyrou. You're not that guy. Jordan Kyrou's got 23 points, man.
He's
looking good.
It. Jordan Kyrou probably is that guy. Like, of anybody on the list of top 20 scorers, he gets the least time on ice. He's, like, just over 16 minutes a night. Most of these guys are around 18, 19. Kyrou doesn't get that. Kaprizov, is he that guy? Is he a top 10 scorer?
He's that guy.
He's earning that contract?
Yeah, he's that guy.
Okay.
Tanbeer's coming in with a hot fire on Brock Besser. Besser couldn't crack India's ice hockey team right now.
Bit of a deep reach there, Tanbeer. Are we allowed to bring that back in this time slot, at least?
Savage.
I think we are.
Okay,
I got one, though.
Okay.
Not in regards to the top 10 NHL scoring, but from last night in Abbotsford, Phil DiGiuseppe.
Oh, man.
Is he that guy? Is he that guy that we saw yesterday?
I don't know if he's that guy in the NHL, but Phil DiGiuseppe, man. I was waving the Italian flag while I was watching that on Twitter. I was just like, yes, let's go. Fire up the Spro machine. Let's maybe get a couple of pieces of pizza. We're going full Phil DiGiuseppe. One of the craziest things about this, how is he still in the AHL? He kills penalties. Great bottom six forward. Had an incredible training camp. Guy spent the whole year in the AHL so far.
If this was a top 15 penalty kill, you could say, yeah, stay in the A.
Yeah.
This is the worst PK we've ever seen in Vancouver, if not across the league in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, how he doesn't get a look, no idea.
Look, Justin Dowling's been fine in the games that he's played.
But how about like 2 weeks ago when Justin Dowling wasn't even on the roster, when he was hurt?
We're still doing the chase on thing. That's just it. I'm frustrated. Steven Stamkos, not that guy. He's not a top 10 scorer in the league anymore.
Ooh.
That's a take, I know.
The track record, you don't even care about the track record.
Yeah.
I didn't have him on my Olympic roster like a couple of weeks ago or like a month ago. I'm obviously reconsidered that, and you're saying he's not even a top 10 scorer. Come on. Without Kucherov and Braden Point in that lineup, he's picking up points.
It's impressive, but I'll say it. He doesn't end up top 10 scorer in the league this year. You're not that guy anymore, Stamkos, anymore. Keyword. All right, coming up, we'll get into the Ottawa Senators with Ian Mendez. And coming up at 2:45, it's sweeping the nation. It never stopped, despite what some others might say.
No. No.
By the way, this football season, make it the Clayton Public House, 188th Street and Highway 10 in Surrey, and the ClaytonPub.com. You're listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Now back to The People Show with Seth, Dan, and Randeep on Sportsnet 650.
I think You're Not That Guy was a big hit. Unsigned text, Jack Campbell, 946 save percentage. You're not that guy.
He might be a guy that's making $5-plus million, though. Like, if Cal Peterson's making $5 million, and
Peterson contract just screwed every goalie. Like, screwed every team in the league, because now everybody's going to get $5 million.
$5 million went from a discount potential in Thatcher Demko. It will be. It probably already is.
Thankfully, Demko signed his contract before Cal Peterson signed for $5 million a year.
And then Rob Blake had a moment of madness.
Yeah, sure. You'll get $5 million.
946, though? Yeah, Jack Campbell's not that guy.
Yeah. A lot of interesting texts coming in with questions about what may happen at some point during this segment. You'll have to listen to find out. We do have a pair of lower bowl seats to the Canucks and Penguins to give away for Saturday night at Rogers Arena. So be tuning in for that. It's coming at some point over the next little while. Ian Mendez of The Athletic is going to join us, talk a little bit about the Ottawa Senators. Some breaking news out of the Seahawks, Randy.
Huge news. Huge news.
A former MVP is joining the Seahawks practice roster.
An MVP is joining the Seahawks.
Yep.
MVP from 2012.
It's not Russell Wilson.
No. 2012, Adrian Peterson has joined the Seattle Seahawks.
Great.
9-1 team. How about now?
Is Russell Wilson going to learn how to throw again? Because that's the real thing that we need to figure out here with the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's the only flaw with that team.
Stop it! It's like saying, it's kind of like Elias Pettersson, you know? Like, there's a lot of flaws with the Canucks, but the biggest one is that Elias Pettersson isn't Elias Pettersson right now, or hasn't been.
To be fair, there are some similarities. That right side of defense for the Canucks looks a lot like the defense on the Seahawks.
All right.
I'm not wrong in that.
Enough of this. Let's bring in Ian Mendez, The Athletic, covering the Ottawa Senators. What's up, Ian?
Guys, how are you?
We're doing all right. It's
you evil Vancouver media.
Oh, you've heard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it spreads pretty quickly, doesn't it? Oh, my goodness. I have to chuckle, and I think, you know, looking at it externally, and I'm somebody who grew up in Vancouver, so I'm very well versed, I think, in the marketplace. I don't think Vancouver media is any tougher on its team than Toronto media is and Montreal media is, and I chuckle when people allocate some of the blame for a franchise's struggle on the media coverage, because I don't think it's fair. Do people live in a fishbowl in Vancouver? 100%, they do. But there's nobody who signs up for it and gets there and is like, I can't believe this was the media coverage. We all know what the coverage is when you come to a Canadian market. So I think everything that's always been done in whether it's your market, my market, Toronto in between, I think for the most part is done pretty fairly.
Here's the thing about all of these conversations, Ian. If you don't like it, play better. If you don't like it, build a better team. If you don't like it, coach better. Like, all of those things apply here, you know, because if things are good, nobody's yelling at you, right? Nobody's angry about how the team is playing.
Right. And so this has always been, and I think it's really important for the listeners here to understand, this isn't just a Vancouver thing. This is in Ottawa. This is in Toronto and Montreal, probably in Philadelphia too, and New York, and pick a really passionate hockey market. And you're going to find that the executives with that team, or agents or people, are going to blame the media for blowing things out of proportion. I've always been a believer that for the most part, we simply hold up a mirror. Okay? Like, the media's job is we hold up a mirror and it's a reflection of what you are. If you don't like the reflection, don't blame the mirror. Like, imagine you got a bad haircut and you look at it and you're like, this is the worst haircut ever, this stupid mirror, and you start smashing the mirror. That's what this is. This is exactly what this is. Don't blame the mirror. Now, are we sometimes guilty of maybe sometimes there's a little bit of distorting of the message, and listen, I will always leave room for that. But I think by and large, I think we all do a pretty good job in this country of covering the teams that we're assigned to, and do it in a pretty transparent and fair way. And it's the other side. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I bet you guys feel this way. I know I did when I, you know, worked kind of in the radio seat in Ottawa. Boy, if you know, agents and teams should be real careful about, you know, accusing us of being too hard, because, you know, quite frankly, I think a lot of us sitting in these seats actually hold back a lot more than we could. And I think that's where there's not an appreciation from management and sometimes agents and people. Like, you guys think we're being hard now? We're probably going, we don't have the foot fully down on the gas. We're trying to be somewhat fair and you know, maintain relationships and things like that. Boy, oh boy, like it could be a lot worse. So careful what you wish for.
You're absolutely right on that. Okay, to switch to the team that you cover, when the Ottawa Senators look in the mirror, what do they see? They're falling short of expectations of progress here, Ian.
Boy, guys, like, if it's funny, like, I've seen the kind of talk about this game tonight, and I'm sure you dealt with it on Monday with the Habs and the Canucks, and this is kind of the next thing, right? It's like these three teams are kind of languishing at the bottom of the standings, and I think all three fan bases are just really angry. In the case of Ottawa, I think it's curious, right? Because I think we can still see, look, they got a good collection of young players. Most of their guys are still 24 and under. Like, it doesn't, like, nobody really truly felt like they were a playoff team this year. I think for the most part, we felt like, you know, if everything falls into place, maybe they get 85 to 90 points, and maybe they're a bubble team, and you never know, some hot goaltending, now you're laughing, maybe you sneak in. That was about the extent of the expectations. And then you put it up against, you know, I think Vancouver made some kind of win now moves. I think Montreal coming off a Stanley Cup final. I think the expectations for what those teams could have been this season or should be this season is a little bit different than here. But at the same time, I don't think there's anybody who thought we would wake up on the day that the calendar flips to December the 1st, and the Ottawa Senators are 32nd out of 32 teams. Like, you're below Arizona, who it appears as though every move they've made has been to intentionally tank the season. You're behind those guys, and you're behind the Kraken, and you're behind the Habs and the Canucks and whoever else you want to put on that short list of teams that have just plummeted to the bottom of the standings. You're behind all of them. Like, that's the problem here, is that it's not that they're not threatening for a playoff spot. It's that they are in the conversation for the worst team in the league. And we were promised at the start of the year that wasn't going to be the case.
Ian Mendez of The Athletic, our guest. You know, it's always tough, and hey, there's some injuries and the COVID outbreak that's a factor here, but yeah, you do want to see this Ottawa team take some steps, and one player that has been off to a bit of a slow start, Tim Stützle. I think he probably deserves a few more goals than he's got so far, but what are you seeing with the sophomore?
Well, and now we're into the kind of the 20-game mark of the season, right? And he's got one goal. And as dynamic and as flashy as he's been and as creative as he's been, it just hasn't found the back of the net. And at some point, you start to worry about the young man's confidence. He's 19 years old, right? And so the way I try and look at this, I try and look at this and I say, look, Timmy Stützle played 56 games last year. He's played, you know, whatever he played, 53 games. Like, he hasn't played what we would have considered to be a full season in the NHL, right? Like, he hasn't hit 82 games. You know, at 82 games, maybe we can look at where he's at. But I think if you looked at most teenagers who break into the league and come in, like, if you go back and look at the Twins when they came in, right? Like, those early years of Daniel and Henrik were ups and downs. They weren't all of a sudden, like, boom, they were point-of-game guys. And so there's some growing pains here that I think are going to have to be had a little bit with a guy like Tim Stützle. But I think if you're watching the game tonight, you know, obviously listening to the game, I think what you'll see or hear is a guy that's going to have the puck a lot. And he's going to jump out of your screen or out of your broadcast this evening for you, because he is the one guy on Ottawa that kind of pulls you a little bit to the edge of your seat. Now, the problem is he can't finish. He can't quite get it done. And it feels like it's coming at some point, but you just worry about the young man's confidence. And the other thing that's funny, too, in his entire career, guys, he's got two goals at home. That's it. In his entire NHL career, I think he's played like 35 games or something at home. He's scored twice. And that's what's a little bit concerning, because you would think this is where you can get favorable matchups. This is where you can kind of try and slide him into, you know, advantageous situations. He's got two goals, and that's a little bit of a problem to me.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Ian Mendez, senior writer with The Athletic. And Ian, when you you recently caught up with Matt Murray after that pretty shocking demotion down to the AHL, and you know, from reading that piece, you can tell it shocked him. It was something that he wasn't, you know, looking at. Just the communication between the team and the player. What did you take from that? Because it felt like he was kind of blindsided by this entire ordeal.
Yeah, that's a great word to use. You know, he did not see this coming. He did not anticipate it. And you got to remember, I think in Matt's mind, he was like, okay, I was out with a neck injury. I had COVID. I basically couldn't skate for 10 days. I got one practice. I played one game. We lose in San Jose 4-2, or he gave up four goals. I can't remember the final score. But, you know, he's like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to get a chance to bounce back, get my feet under me. And they basically call him into the office. They don't even dress him for the next game against Anaheim, which is shocking. Ottawa's been carrying three goalies for a big chunk of the season. So you don't often hear the term healthy scratch with a goalie, but he was made a healthy scratch. And that made all of us in the marketplace kind of look at each other and say, wait, what? Like, he's not even one of your two best options to play against Anaheim when your season is spiraling out of control. And then after that game, he says he was pulled into an office and told, look, management decision, man, you're going to Belleville and you're going on waivers. And I think what's mind-boggling to me out of all of this is you got to remember they signed Matt Murray to a four-year, $25 million contract extension 13 months ago. He's only played 33 games for the Ottawa Senators. So think about that for a second, guys. 33 games of sample size, $25 million commitment. You're like, yeah, this guy's not the guy. Like that, if anything screams kind of instability, it might be that. Now, can he get his game back? For sure, he could get his game back, and I think that would probably be plan A. But it kind of felt like, I think from the athlete's perspective, couldn't you have talked to me about this before? Couldn't you have said to me, what if we did a two-week conditioning stint, send you down to the AHL, we can tell everybody that you're just not quite where you need to be coming off of COVID. Like, there were ways around this other than pulling a guy in and saying you're being waived and you're going to the AHL. And so that's the part that I think the communication wasn't appreciated, but it's a tough conversation. I wouldn't envy Pierre Dorion, DJ Smith, or anybody who would have to have that conversation. It's not an easy conversation, but I think if there was a little bit of transparency there and honesty and a feeling like this was a two-way conversation, maybe it would go over. But I can't help but think that they now don't view Matt Murray as their guy, because I think if you thought he was your guy, you don't necessarily treat him in that manner.
Final thing before we let you go, Bitegate. Five games only for Brendan Lemieux. You think? I imagine Brady Tkachuk's fired up about that.
You know what? So Brady spoke to the media today, and basically, you know, I know his comments on Saturday in Los Angeles went viral.
Gilbert Gottfried just made it the greatest thing ever.
Oh my gosh! Anytime you get Gilbert Gottfried, you know, kind of, you know, imitating you, you know, you've done something. So look, it was a viral quote, a viral tweet, kind of a post game soundbite from Brady Tkachuk. But today he didn't say anything about Lemieux. He's like, hey, I respect the decision for the Department of Player Safety. I was really curious about this because I think we were going back and looking. There have been previous, believe it or not, there's been previous biting incidents, and one of them involved a guy that I think probably, you know, Ottawa fans and Vancouver fans would know pretty well, and Jarkko Ruutu. And he got a two-game suspension for biting Andrew Peters in 2009. So you start to look at that and you think, okay, like there is a little bit of precedent here. But I wonder, and I wondered this right away, in the COVID world, would the NHL be extra angry with a player kind of being so brazen and careless and reckless with, and I hate to use the term, but like with their own hygiene. And I know it sounds silly, but I wonder if that played, like, I couldn't help but think too, like when this all happened, I'm like, what would Brad Marchand get? Like Brad Marchand couldn't lick somebody today and get away with it. Like this would be like, okay, hey man, you got to cut that out. So I wonder in an odd way, was the five games a little bit more than we've seen from other people with the two game, one game suspensions? Listen, I don't think there's a biting epidemic in the league. So to me, I wasn't like, you better give this guy 10 games because there's no room for biting. We all know there's no room for biting. Nope, there's no bunch of people running around biting each other. Like, if we get to that point, let's make it tougher suspensions. I was okay with five games.
100%. Ian, enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for this today.
Yeah, you betcha, guys. Have a great day.
Ian Mendez of The Athletic. Bringing the heat. Love it. Adam Gaudette, likely to be in the lineup tonight for Ottawa as well. All right. Stan Riccio and Randeep Janda. It's time.
No. No.
It's time. It's time. It's password time. It's a game where we give you clues and you try to figure out who it is we are talking about. Password game show that is absolutely, positively sweeping the nation. You love to play it for pride. You love to play it for prizes. Randeep, what are the people playing for today?
I can't believe we're doing this, Reach. I can't believe it. It's happening. The prize, a pair of lower bowl seats to the Canucks and Penguins this Saturday, hockey night in Canada at Rogers Arena.
It's time.
Unbelievable.
The people asked for it.
Those footsteps you hear are Sat feverishly running towards the station right now, trying to end this.
The people are saying, you're on 1-4. Sat's not around. Play password. It's here. You know how to play it. 604-280-0651-888-275-0650. Randy, clue number one.
The first clue is Dahlin. Dahlin.
The second clue, Los Angeles. Los Angeles is your second clue.
Okay, and the third and final clue before we go to the phone, 604-280-0650, Oilers. Oilers.
All right, there's your first three clues here on Password. All right, Joel, who do we have first up?
We are going to go to Kyle in East Van.
All right, Kyle. Long time no talk. Password is here. Kyle, you have a chance to walk it off. Can you do it?
I'm just so happy, guys. Is it Brady Tkachuk 2?
No!
It is not Brady Tkachuk.
You know what I love right now? There is equal amounts of hate and love right now in the text inbox.
Yes.
It's pure venom and just love.
Just when I thought 650 couldn't get any worse. This one, Kits Mike. Booyah! All right.
Another one. Yahoo!
All right. Next clue, Randy.
The next clue is number 11. Number 11.
Let's go to Logan in Vancouver. Logan, you're next up here on Password. What you got?
Frank Zappa.
You suck!
Logan, it is not Frank Zappa. It was a little harsh on the you suck there, but hey, we'll take it.
It brings back good memories. That's fine.
That's what this is all about anyways. All right, next clue.
The next clue, fifth round pick. Fifth round pick.
All right, we go next up to Jordan in Langley. Jordan, you're playing for a pair of Canucks tickets. What you got?
Valdina.
Try harder next time.
And here I thought people wanted the tickets.
I thought he was going to come in with the big hello ladies, but...
give it the next call.
Not the case. It is not Val Venus, shockingly enough. Next clue, Randy.
The next clue is Huskies. Huskies.
All right, let's go to Nathan in Surrey. Nathan, you're next up on Password. What you got?
Well, this is awesome because I'm so glad that you're doing this, but I didn't hear the first three clues. You guys put me on and I didn't hear any of it, so I'm just going to hang up. But good luck.
You get nothing. You lose.
All right, Randy, let's go through the clues one more time.
All right. The clues have been Huskies, fifth round pick, number 11, Oilers, Los Angeles, and Dahlin.
All right. Let's go to Ryan and Burnaby. We're not giving you a new clue, Ryan. You got to guess off what we got so far.
Oilers.
Nah, sorry, Ryan.
Come on,
congratulations,
man.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Yeah, you didn't play the game. You played yourself on that one. I think the next one will give it away.
All right, next clue.
Hobie Baker.
I thought this was going to be easy today.
Hobie Baker.
All right, David in North Burnaby. David, you're up next here on Password. What you got?
Canada's greatest athlete, Gene Kiniski.
It is not that.
No! What is going on?
That is Satyar Shah storming into the studio.
What?
You're not on till three.
You got 6 minutes, Sat. He stormed back out.
Drop it off.
All right, next clue.
Waiver claim.
All right, let's
waiver claim.
Go to Luke. Luke, you're up next here in Password.
Oh.
What was that?
You suck.
I would just want to move on from that call.
Let's give out another clue, Randy.
Highmore.
I can't believe we're getting through Highmore. All of the clues. Pair of Canucks tickets on tap. Rob and Abby, you're next.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, guys.
Come on, people.
Oh, man. I think our next contestant's going to get it for sure. But let's give the final clue anyhow.
Hockey God.
Brian and Burke Mountain, the OG Password GOAT. What's up?
Brian Boyle.
No, no.
Try harder. What are we doing here? All right, here I got one. I got an extra clue. Kick in the face. Kick in the face. That's what this game has kind of felt like.
Yes.
Come on.
Kirk and Delta is next. Kirk, what you got here on Password?
Is it Adam Gaudet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Kirk. You can put it on the board. Yes. Kirk, you are the winner of Password today, and you will be given a pair of lower bowl seats to the Canucks and Penguins this Saturday. All right, let's quickly rip through the clues here on Adam Gaudette.
That was unbelievable. All right, quickly, the first clue, Dahlin, because he was a teammate with Jonathan Dahlin in Utica.
Los Angeles scored his first goal against the LA Kings.
Oilers, because he made his NHL debut against the Edmonton Oilers.
Number 11, he's worn 11 in Chicago and now in Ottawa.
Fifth round pick, he was a fifth round pick of the Vancouver Canucks.
Huskies, played his college puck with Northeastern Huskies.
Hobie Baker, he won in the final year of college. He was the prestigious winner of that award.
Yep, waiver claim by Ottawa from Chicago. Highmore traded to Chicago from... Chicago traded Highmore to Vancouver for Adam Gaudette to Chicago, and Hockey God, the final clue. And kick in the face is the famous...
the wedding reception scene.
Yeah, the famous wedding video. Moment he'd probably like to have back.
That was wild.
It was an unfortunate incident. In any case, didn't even put crystals as a clue. Should have had crystals. Maybe that would have given it away. All right, that's Password. All right, coming up. Sat's going to come in here, blazing hot, steam coming out of his ears. But before we do that, here's Josh with the CertainTeed Pro of the Week winner.
Equally exciting as Password coming back. for all your renovation pros, we're announcing the final results of the CertainTeed Pro of the Week contest, and that person is Tammy Murden. Congratulations, Tammy. You've been selected as a potential winner of a $500 gift card courtesy of CertainTeed Pro Materials. You will be contacted soon. Be sure to check back often at proalltheway.ca for the next edition of CertainTeed's Pro of the Week contest. We will be doing it again right here on The People's Show.
Angry Sat is next on Sportsnet 650.
Very disappointed.
This is The People's Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Here's Dan, Sat, and Randeep.
Final segment of The People's Show. The Canucks pregame is firing up at 3:30. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. Satyar Shah, as you may have heard, tried to crash the Password party. So angry. Steam coming out of his ears.
I couldn't believe it. I literally couldn't believe it.
Man didn't even have time to take off his jacket. He was in a full coat.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't even put my bag down. And, yeah. Let's just say that you guys are lucky that we have people outside. Otherwise, it could have been, yeah.
You know what's great about this is, though? The text inbox is filled with people that loved it or absolutely hated it. There's, like, expletives in a good way and a bad way in the text inbox.
Like this one, F yes.
Yes.
Also, F you. So you're getting a bit of both.
It's like the ref and the player that were having the shouting match the other day. Just bleep you. No, bleep you. It's kind of like It's kind of like you're having a high school party. Your parents are supposed to be away for the weekend.
Yeah.
And they come home early, crash the party.
That was me.
That was that.
I came in early.
Oh, no, we're running late.
I actually showed up. I'm like sauntering in, all relaxed, saying hi to people around the office, grabbing my water. I'm like, oh, this is nice.
Heard the music.
I'm like, just like, what is that voice?
I'm like, no! Wait.
No.
I heard clues. I'm like, wait.
No. No.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
I'm like, Randeep's getting a clue?
That's live audio of Sat and Bick hearing Password fire up during the last segment.
Oh, this is beautiful.
All right.
Text inbox just going off.
Some people love it. Some people hate it. Password sweeping the nation.
You know who hated it? Brian from Burke Mountain. Yeah. Brian Boyle? Come on, man. Mm. Come on.
You know, Brian from Burke Mountain, the OG Password GOAT, is kind of like a player that's clearly over the hill but hasn't called it quits yet. Maybe Zdeno Chara might apply for this year.
You're saying Brian from Burke Mountain is washed? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, he had it on a platter for himself. He's making excuses on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Like, man, I only heard the first four clues. Like, I don't know, man. We told you hockey god, and you still got it wrong.
Wow. Yeah, you went from being Dino Cicerelli. No, I was actually Joey. But, like, there was that level of, you know, a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
I think he called him the Wayne Gretzky. He's looking like Brendan Gaunce right now.
Mm.
See,
it's been a bit of a downgrade.
You just alienated a P1 Password fan.
No, no, no.
Come over to the dark side, Brian.
He's late career Chris Chelios. Anyways.
You know how you can not get dragged for playing Password? Not having Password.
Today's a good day.
How many more East Coast games do we have this year? Anyways, all right.
I'm going to start showing up early.
So, Canucks and Senators coming up. We've had some good conversations on the show today. You can always get it on podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, leave a review. We do appreciate it. It goes a long way for us. But we started the show kind of talking about wins. And there's a certain segment of Citizens of the People show that still think this team can make a push for the playoffs. You know, you might understand that it's going to take a miracle, or you should understand that it would take a miracle for that to happen. But I'm not going to tell you how to look at these final 59 games of the season. But from a standpoint of, we know the search is ongoing for potential replacements with the franchise. Should wins change the way forward at all? Or do wins, like let's say they carry this out and win five in a row all of a sudden, does it change, should it change the way management is currently viewing this situation in the view of looking for a replacement?
Well, if you view it from, let's say, ownership side, I don't know if game to game really matters. Now, as far as Jim trying to make any moves, like how many moves is he able to make? Right, like we've heard the reports that there were conversations with guys like Claude Julien and Scott Walker, and the belief is those conversations were happening with the general manager. And obviously, those things didn't come to fruition because maybe the owner wasn't okay with it, or they just decided not to go down that road, whatever it is. So how much say does the GM have, anyways, in this position? I don't know if anything changes here based on a few wins. I think all it does potentially is buy you time, a bit more time, because if you don't want to make that sacrificial lamb before the game on Saturday, you don't make that sacrifice before Saturday's game, then maybe you win tonight. You can try to push and see, hope that a reaction's not bad on Saturday. They win, and you can keep kicking this can down the road a bit longer. So perhaps in the interim, but big picture, making a decision on the direction of this organization, I think those wheels are already in motion. I don't see that really changing at this stage.
Yeah, organizational direction, vision, you know, some of the things that we've talked about in the past, that shouldn't change based on some temporary W's. If you win a few games in a row, like now looking at the larger sample size of this team, not only this year, but going back to last year, some different players, I understand, but still, they haven't been consistent. So even if they win a few games here, it doesn't really change anything. There is a need to fix what has been, you know, lacking in this roster, lacking in terms of direction and an overall plan. So I understand where you're saying, Sat, that it might just kind of, it might limit the urgency in terms of, hey, you have to make a move right now. But the long game is still the long game. You got to focus on correcting that. You got to focus on ensuring that you're in a position to make that change whenever, you know, down the road. Now, if they do string together a couple of wins, maybe the temperature goes down. But guys, how much, like, I don't understand how you the temperature is going to go down in the city. Like, they're not making the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? Mathematically, they can.
Yeah.
But we know it's very slim chances. So the urgency is still going to be quite high, just based on the temperature in the city right now.
There's just no confidence, as we've talked about, in this management group from the fan base's perspective. And this was always going to be a playoffs are the goal type of year.
Yeah.
You expected to be able to see that picture a little bit more clearly later on in the season. It's just that, you know, 22 games in, 23 games in, you already know. Like, you already know the outcome, and playoffs that were the goal, it's not going to happen this year, again, barring a miracle. So the decision's kind of already been made for you.
To some degree, right? And yeah, a miracle run, I suppose anything can happen, all this sort of stuff. You have divisional games coming up, and those games, obviously, you want to run and change things. But yes, we're talking about a monumental task just to make a push
for the playoff spot,
right?
I mean, that's even playing at a 90-point pace, you're still a bottom 10 team at this point.
Exactly. That just shows you how far back. I mean, they have to win 7 games in a row from this point on to get to 500.
Yeah.
So you got to win 7 more in a row to eclipse 500. That just kind of shows you how big a run they got to go just to get to the break-even point or just slightly above that. That's how far back you are. But besides that, right? If we're looking looking at how they're playing right now, are they playing hard?
Yes.
It seems like it, right?
Yep.
So if I'm evaluating this, and this is not me reporting things, just looking at it from the perspective of, let's say, ownership that's trying to make a decision, you feel like you might have to do something here pretty soon.
Yeah.
If you feel like the players are responding to the coach or working hard at the very least, and you know that the fan base's main anger is directed at the general manager and the chance that happened in the building, or they're not saying fire the coach, they're saying fire Jim. I mean, that's what they're yelling at, right? That's the guy right now that's still, despite the fact that you can be critical of Travis and people are mad at Travis and all that, Jim is still the guy that has the most heat on him, still has a bullseye on him more than anybody in this market, right?
Yeah.
So is it inconceivable that if they make a move, it's the GM and not the coach?
Shouldn't be. You know, you think about, like, I think why you have to make that move a little bit higher up the chain is that you're looking at this situation now and how to best set up the team moving forward for next year, a couple years down the line. And I think of it as, if you get a new GM in here, you allow them a little bit of runway to take a look at what they've got, see what they can do with this roster, and start to assess that a couple of months ahead of the trade deadline, where you can maybe make some moves, sell off some parts, or rework this roster a little bit. Start to make some decisions on how to better set it up for next season. So that's why I think, you know, not even just from a fan pressure standpoint, I just think from a realistic, how do we best set this team up, finding the guy that you want and then putting him in place as soon as you can, that's important to me given how important this trade deadline could be for this franchise.
And we've seen this play out in the past as well. Philadelphia is the classic example. When Chuck Fletcher got the job, you know, he gave Dave Hakstol a little bit of time, and then about 2 weeks later, Hakstol was gone as well. We're seeing that in Montreal, where Dominique Ducharme is going to get a go with, you know, Jeff, Gorton in terms of, and potentially a GM here as well, whenever they decide to hire one, he's getting a look. But I guess the question I have is, you could probably go down that road. Is it fair to Travis Green, though, in the sense that it feels like the writing is on the wall, right?
Yeah.
It feels like, whether it's like soon or a couple of months down the road or at the end of the year, it seems like it's going to happen. So is there benefit of keeping the guy around when everybody feels like they know what the answer of the story is going to be, what the ending of the story is going to be?
Well, if you've already kind of made that decision, that's why the humane thing to do is to move on and start moving on from that point on. But usually what happens, though, is if you're going down the road of sweeping organizational changes, new GM and everything, if that's what you're deciding upon doing, then maybe you want to make that move first before you do the coach, because that seems to be the better way to go about it. If you're going to make a sweeping change and bring a new general manager in and perhaps a president or whatever you want to do to the front office, if that's what you want to do, then the smart move would be to move on from your GM, put the new guy in place, and then give it a week or so and give the new guy a chance to evaluate the coach. And if things don't change, you can still move from the coach at that point. The new guy can decide what he wants to do with your head coach. The entire question all comes down to how close are you to finding somebody else. The name that's been most closely linked right now to, it's not even a vacant job, but just to the position, is Scott Mellenby. That's what Elliot Friedman mentioned. He has familiarity, like Friedman mentioned, with this organization, having worked under Mike Gillis, been here in the past. He's been a GM in the making, and all these sort of things. Let's just say, if that's the guy you decide on bringing in, then you can let him make a decision on the coach, right? It doesn't mean the coach is getting off scot-free. Yeah. It's just looking at how these events might unfold.
Mellenby's got, like, we've talked to some different people, Frank Saravalli, some different insiders over the course of the week. Mellenby has experience with the franchise. Do you think that's important, given how closely a GM is going to work with ownership here in Vancouver?
I think it does. There's a couple of things, right? Having familiarity with the organization is important.
Yeah.
I think understanding the dynamic, how that dynamic changes going forward is a question that I think everybody wants to see answered. Does it change? But there's also if that is indeed the case, there's also a little bit of a link to the Gillis regime here, right? What do we hear in this market so often?
Bring back Gillis?
Exactly. But, you know, obviously, we've talked to a lot of people that say that Scott Mellenby is ready for the job. He has been ready for a couple of years now. He was essentially, in a way, promised in Montreal that he'd get it. They reconsidered. But
Pittsburgh went after him.
Absolutely. So are you in a position to kind of do two things? Bring in somebody talented and also have a bit of a link to the old regime. You're not going back to the old regime. But it doesn't hurt from a PR perspective, does it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I suppose to some degree, right?
Like,
I,
you know, for the Gillis stands out there, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if that sells it a lot more or less. To me, the most interesting part about this is if you're going with a first-time GM again, does that kind of show you how much you're willing to spend on all this?
Yeah.
How far you're willing to go about all this, right? Because what have we said this organization seems to need? Real leadership, some level of experience, somebody in the front office that can help build the program, whether that's your president or your GM or somebody of that regard. Now, if you bring Mellenby in and bring somebody else in as well, then maybe you can have that. But if you're hiring a first-time GM, and again, nobody's saying Mellenby's getting a job, it's just because he's been linked to it.
Yeah.
Let's just say, if you're offering him the job, does that not give you an indication of how much you're willing to spend on the position? Because you're not hiring a GM and then 2 months later hiring a president above that GM. If you do, that's ass
a flawed
backwards,
process.
Right?
Yeah, that's a flawed process.
That's a flawed process. If you want to bring a president in like the Habs did and let that person make a decision on the GM and then ultimately make a decision on your coach, that's the right way to go about it. But if you're bringing in a GM first and a guy that doesn't have any experience as a GM, then, you know, there are questions about the level of investment you want to have in your front office structure moving forward.
I'd love to see what they did in Montreal. You bring an organizational hockey ops leader and then you build it out from there, right? And over time, I think that's, that's going to bring something, you know, that consistency, that vision, that direction. But we are in a situation that, you know, now that it's just kind of sitting there. Everybody expects something to happen, but it isn't happening. It hasn't happened yet. And that's not to say it's not going to happen, but, you know, this is where the speculation comes in. This is where the thought process comes in. Do you see something similar to Montreal? Frank Saravalli, we talked to him earlier this week. He was talking about how, you know, in some cases, President Hockey Ops, GM, is still seen as redundant.
Yeah.
What does the owner think? After the Trevor Linden episode, is it a redundancy or is it something that actually has value within the organization now? Have they maybe looked at the scenario and saying, hey, maybe Jim Benning was dealing with way too much from a media aspect, from a team building aspect? What is the owner thinking? Nobody knows that right now, but I'm guessing in a few, maybe over time, who knows how long that is, we'll find out. We'll get a sense.
Eduardo in East Van, we all agree that this team is underperforming, and if the Canucks string together some wins, then you have to look at the team a little bit differently. Perhaps a team that's figuring it out. Another text, unsigned. If it's decided that they're not making the playoffs, doesn't that lessen urgency? Do you guys believe that firing Benning fixes Pettersson and Besser? If not, what fixes that major problem or those major problems?
The other thing to keep in mind, and yes, those problems are two things you got to figure out. Very important things, Pettersson and Brock Besser. Now, we're starting to see some signs from Pettersson breaking out. We're not seeing that from Brock Besser, right?
No.
But you also got to sell tickets to over 30 home games.
Yeah.
And you have fans reacting a certain way in those home games, right? How much is that going to matter to ownership? And that's going to be the question. So to answer the cue about does it buy you more time? Yes, in theory it does. But it also comes down to how much damage your brand takes if you continue losing, continue struggling, and how fans in this market feel about your product. How do they support you or not support you? What is the reaction of those fans that go into the building? So, yes, in theory, it buys you time. But if the situation gets worse and worse,
yeah,
you know?
It is a dollars and cents kind of conversation because you do have those home games. But, you know, the same way we look at it is, you know, wins can't necessarily change the overall plan. If you don't feel as though you have the right people in place, that reaction should not change it either, right? Like, you still have to bring them in at your pace, because if you don't feel as though you have the right people, right, you can't rush moves either, right? So it's such a slippery slope, though, because dollars and cents game.
You know what? It's not, to me, so yes, to some degree, it's selling hope. And if you make a change, you're selling hope for the future. But more than anything, I think you're selling accountability. You're selling that, okay, things are going to be different from this point on. Not just because we said so, just because we sent a statement out to season ticket holders, and just because we quoted Batman and said, it's the darkest before the dawn. It doesn't really mean, you know, there's meaningful change happening, that there has been accountability. And I think in this situation, even if, you know, everything keeps going awry and the team wants to be patient, at some point, you got to show accountability and you got to show fans that there is going to be a better way moving forward.
Yeah.
Even if the product sucks the rest of the way, at least you've made a move and said, okay, this is not acceptable. We're changing things. It's going to be different from this point on. And then you've made a meaningful action that shows it'll be different, even if the rest of the season is a disaster.
And that's why I go back to the interim tags, right? We talk about coaching. We talk about GMs. There are options within the organization if they want to go that way, if they feel that a failure of a season, which is what this is trending towards, is not acceptable. And if the team, you know, figures it out a little bit and creates a little bit of positive vibes because they've beaten a couple of teams, maybe they beat Ottawa today and you've got a 2-game win streak, it helps in the short term. But if it doesn't, if it continues and there's losses and there's negativity, there are other alternatives there, right? Like, I think there's an idea that, hey, maybe you don't make the move until you have a full picture of what's going on. There are interim tags for a reason. They are, you know, highly respected people in the organization for a reason.
Greg, dairy farmer. I would like to see Green get a chance with a new GM. Another text, Dave from Surrey. If change doesn't happen soon, it won't happen at all. We will be in this exact same position 1 year from today. Management and coaching needs to change. And when it comes to selling tickets and selling hope to this franchise, I think, you know, that's part of it, is this, they're fed up with having seen the same thing for so long.
Well, and the same people sending the message of hope.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the thing. The messenger, at some point, you know, as much as you don't want to shoot the messenger, at some point you kind of have to change the messenger. And again, that doesn't mean you absolve Jim of the work he's done or anything like that. It's just to kind of show the situation, though, that even if you believe in Jim, even if ownership says they want to hold on to him and all that sort of stuff, at some point it becomes untenable, right? And I think we're all to reach that point with fans. You know how many fans I run into now that all they do is complain about Jim, their season ticket holders? I'm at the gym and people come up to me and they're like, you know what? Like, I love what you guys do, but I'm going to call the Canucks and I'm trying to cancel the rest of my season tickets. I'm trying to get rid of my package.
You're at the gym and they're trying to talk to you about Jim Benning.
I can't get away from Jim Benning. That's what I'm saying. Like, everywhere I go, this is what I hear. Now, how much is that people just talking and how much of it is actual action? And those things will be heard by the organization.
It's just, this team has, there's so many things here. They have too much talent to be where they are. They've not played well enough. They've not been built well enough. There's just so much. And we had the conversation earlier on in the show, as the game is about to start, which future would you rather have, Vancouver or Ottawa's? Like, Ottawa's got a lot of depth within their system, but again, you know, what you need to see through the back half of this season, or the last two-thirds, you need to see Elias Pettersson really find his game. Now, that's going to result in more wins and maybe a worse draft pick, but I still think that's the most important thing for this franchise moving forward.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of conversation around this organization, around this team, but the single biggest pressing issue right now is Elias Pettersson, get your vibe back. Get that mojo back, man. Like, that is going to be the story of the rest of the season because you want to see if he can hit that level again.
Can he build off of the goal he scored the other night in Montreal? Canucks and Senators pregame is up next on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.